Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time of the season. Lord, thank you for sending your Son. Lord, we want to take time and honor that, take time and acknowledge that. Lord, thank you for the precious children here in our church. We love them. Thank you for our youth. We pray for them and all the youth that are coming on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, Sunday school. We pray for our church family during this season, Father, that you'll bless them. Lord, we pray for our military that's around the world, away from their families during this time. Lord, we lift up all the foreign missionaries that are running around to and fro around the country, around the world, in dangerous places. Father, we just send up our little prayers for all those folks. Thank you for this season. Lord, I pray for this message this morning. Help me teach it, preach it, and put it on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. What a coincidence that we just heard the scripture for the sermon, right? Amen. So thank you, Natalie Ann. Luke chapter 2, if you want to turn your Bible. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to be verse 9 through 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 9 through 14. But I have a special guest this morning that's going to read the scriptures for us, even though Natalie Ann just finished the scriptures. But I do have a special guest this morning. He is actually a young guy, young fella, and he's kind of shy, so be patient with him. But he is quoting a scripture verbatim, the King James Version, and I feel that he is anointed. So we're gonna let Linus read the scripture for us this morning. Amen?
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it.
What a treat.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you.
Christmas.
Amen. Anybody remember that? Amen. Well, that's precious to me. It really is. You see my Charlie Brown Christmas tree? We're going to talk about that at the end, too, so hang on with me. You guys know, and it's kind of odd, I know, but for the last several weeks, I've been kind of referring to Charlie Brown and the gang, you know, my messages. But, you know, Jesus taught a lot in parables, right? He taught a lot in sometimes little metaphorical stories, you know. He taught a lot in stories, period. So I want to kind of tell you guys a little story this morning. You'll be familiar with it if you grew up watching the Charlie Brown stories. So we come to old Chuck in his search for the true meaning of Christmas. And Charlie Brown first asked Lucy for some advice, and she told him that he needed to get involved. He needed to get involved. Maybe he needed to direct the Christmas play. In other words, he needed to get focused and start controlling things. And we all know that that's really not the meaning of Christmas. It's just not. It's more of us releasing everything and giving it the control to God, who actually created us. And the fact that Christmas is more really about us serving. It's about us helping others. It's about us giving, you know. Charlie Brown also looked to his dog Snoopy for some help, and we all know how Snoopy felt about the season. All Snoopy wanted to do was decorate and dine and eat and dance. You know, and we remember Snoopy got involved in the contest. They call it the Super Colossal Lights and Display Contest. And then Snoopy wanted to eat, and he wanted to dance, because that's what made him happy. You see him dancing right there? That was cute to me. Charlie Brown wants to be happy too, but he wants a happiness that will last beyond the fun things. So y'all stay with me in my story. You want to read, open up your spiritual ears and eyes and listen to what's really being said. And that's how Jesus talked to people a lot, is you had to have those, you know, he that has ears, let him hear, you know. Charlie Brown's sister, Sally, thinks she knows what Christmas is about. She thinks it's about presents and gifts. And so she tries to convince Charlie Brown to go and write a letter to Santa Claus and try to help Santa Claus out and say, look, just send her some cash, $5 and $10 bills. That's all she wanted. Just send her money. But Charlie Brown knows that money is not the answer. So the search continued. In an effort to find that Christmas spirit, Charlie Brown goes off on a mission to find the best tree that he can. Now, the girls in his life definitely told him what to look for. They told him to go look for a big, shiny, aluminum Christmas tree, maybe painted pink. So as Charlie Brown and Linus walk through and go into the Christmas tree lots, they see a lot of big, shiny aluminum trees. Some of the children would love these trees. They're tall and strong and big and colorful and flashy. Everything that the world says is good. But Charlie Brown doesn't go for one of those big, fancy, colorful-looking trees. Instead, he finds the little, scraggly tree that is overlooked by everyone else. So for 54 years now, whenever we see a scraggly little old tree, a Christmas tree, or a Christmas tree that doesn't quite look like it's supposed to, what do we call it? It's a little Charlie Brown Christmas tree, right? The tree Charlie Brown chose was not what the other children were looking for. It certainly was not what they expected. It's interesting that this is often how God works. It's not that God works in mysterious ways. I personally really don't care for that statement. You know, God works in mysterious ways. I just don't believe that. It's really just that God works in unexpected ways. We don't expect Him to operate or work like this or do these particular things. Let's take the example of the birth of Jesus. This was a birth like no other, because the child that was in the manger was the Son of the living God. Amen? More specifically, this was God coming to earth in the flesh and blood of a little infant boy. Never, never before had this happened, and never again was it going to happen. It was a very unique, one-of-a-kind birth. It was the single most profound thing that has ever happened on the planet Earth. I really want you to think about that. And the entire existence of planet Earth, the birth of Christ, what we're celebrating this week and next week, was the single most powerful, profound thing that has ever happened on Earth. In the words of Charles Schulz, the creator of the Peanuts, it was a super colossal experience. Now, some people would think that Jesus' birth should have been something of royalty. He should have had maids and attendants, and it should have been broadcast throughout the palaces. But that's not how God works. God didn't come the way we might have expected. He definitely caught them off guard. Remember what Linus said, "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Jesus was born into very humble and unexpected circumstances. See, he didn't arrive in the holy city of Jerusalem. He didn't arrive in the grand style, in the big, giant, holy city. But he arrived in a little, dusty town called Bethlehem. You see, Mary and Joseph, they were young. They were an unknown couple. They couldn't find shelter in the inn. It was crowded, so they ended up in a stable. In a stable. Jesus wasn't born again with nurses hanging around him. It was animals. It was stinking. And his mom and dad were hanging out right there. The news of Jesus spread through the hillsides of Judea and down the country roads. And guess what? The first to visit Jesus was not the rich and the famous. It was not the powerful leaders of the day. It was not even the spiritual faithful of the day. The first visitors to Jesus was a group of roughneck shepherds. These are roughneck men. God did not come that night as we might have expected. But that is always how God has worked. God chose ordinary men like Abraham to make a great nation. He chose the last in the line of brothers to be the greatest king of Israel. He chose the smallest family in Israel to bring forth the Messiah. God always worked in ways that were unexpected. And that is how Jesus came in the world, and that is how Jesus lived his life. Jesus was not the kind of Messiah or Savior that people expected. He even called his own followers ordinary fishermen and despised tax collectors. He didn't lead a political revolt. He didn't lead a military coup. But instead, he talked about forgiveness and grace. and eternal life. Amen? At every turn in Jesus' life, he was not what people expected. He didn't come to rule in power, but to show his power in love. He didn't come to strong arm the people, but used his strong arm to serve and to sacrifice for them. In so many ways, Jesus was not what people expected, but that is how God always works. Today, God still comes in unexpected ways. He really does. One of the challenges that we have when we talk about the birth of Christ and the baby is that, can we see God today? Do we see Him? If we want to see God today, we have to look in new and fresh and unexpected ways. Can we open our minds? Can we open our eyes and our hearts to see Jesus and what He's doing in our midst today? Can we see what God is doing in Pauline Baptist Church in Brooks County, Lowndes County, the surrounding counties, the state of Georgia, United States of America, and around the world? Can we see what God is doing? Can we see Jesus? Jesus came into Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago as a baby. And lived as a man throughout Galilee, and he died on a cross in Jerusalem. But Jesus has never left us. He's still here, and he still moves in our world. Jesus said, when we reach out to the poor, when we reach out to the lonely, when we reach out to the hurting, when we reach out to the hungry, when we reach out to the people that are suffering, then we're reaching out to him. Can we see God in our world? Can we see God in the unexpected people? The unexpected places. The unexpected events and missions. Can we see Jesus? And when we see Him, can we love Him? When we see Jesus, can we receive Him still? These are important questions for all of us. Now, like Jesus, the tree Charlie Brown picked out was not what the children expected. But Charlie Brown could see something special in it. And so he chose to make it his own, and he took it home. Even when the other children thought it was foolish, Charlie Brown took it home, and he decorated it. Well, Charlie Brown took one red ornament and placed it on the tree, and the tree bends in half. And he thinks, I've killed it. That's what he said. He said, I've killed it. And he says that everything he touches is ruined. Can't do anything right. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like everything you touch gets ruined? Or that all your failure and your mistakes are just too much to overcome? Do you ever feel like your sin is just too great to be forgiven? If you do, then the good news of the angels that proclaimed that good news that day is just for you. It says, because we have been given a Savior. And He saves us in the most unexpected ways. Isaiah 53:5, and we're all familiar with it. Isaiah 53:5 says, surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. You see, our sin, the guilt and shame and penalty of our sin, was laid on Jesus, and Jesus paid it all. He paid the whole price. 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus bore our sins in His body on the cross, on the tree, so that free from sin we might live for righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed. Everybody say amen to that one. I have some red ornaments in the basket. The red ornaments represent our sin. These are all our failures, all our brokenness and our pain and all those ways of living that we know that does not please God. And let's face it, on our own, we are just like Charlie Brown. Me and everyone in here. We can't get it right all the times. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. Which is why we all desperately need a Savior. We all desperately need Jesus. We need a Savior to take this sin away. And that is what Jesus does. And that is why He was really born. The angel said unto this day, the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus took our sin to the cross, to the tree, and He nailed it to the tree. And on that tree, He paid the penalty of that sin, which was death. Jesus died so that we won't have to die. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. My sins, all the wrong that I did, was nailed to the cross. This morning we want to give each of you a red ornament to take home and put on your tree as a reminder that Christ died for our sins. It was our sin Jesus took to the cross. When our sin was placed upon Him, He died. Back to Charlie Brown, and with that big red ornament bending the little tree in half, Charlie Brown's tree looked like it was destroyed. It looked like it really died. But the tree doesn't stay that way. Amen? The love of Charlie Brown's friends surrounds that little tree and brings it back to life. And it is the love of God which brought Jesus back to life. And the love of God brought Him back to life. And it wasn't just the love for Jesus that the Father had, but it was the love for each one of us that brought Jesus back to life, that raised Him from the dead, so that whoever believes in His name would not perish. God came to us in Jesus because God loves us. God took our sin to the cross because He loves us. He raised Jesus from the dead because He loves us. Listen to this. If the love God has for us can overcome the grave, then the love God has for us is greater than any power or any force that's in this world. The love of God is greater than any power that may be trying to come against you and your family. Whatever darkness we face today, the darkness of doubt, the darkness of fear, the darkness of loneliness or despair, the darkness of grief and pain, whatever darkness we are battling can be overcome by the light of God's Word, of the light of God's love for you. Talked about this last week. Romans chapter 8 says there's nothing can separate us from the love of God. And when I say nothing, I mean nothing. No matter what you've done can separate you from the love of God. Not our failures, not our fears, not our doubts, not our sickness, and not even our sin. Yes, we reap what we sow. I understand that. But Christ died on the cross for our sin. Our sin has been taken away, and through Jesus we can experience forgiveness and eternal life. When we place our faith and our trust in that child that was born in that stable, that was laid in that manger, nothing can separate us from God's love. Not any of your shortcomings. Not any of your sin, which was missing the mark. All of us fall short. Every one of us. It's the love of God that brings us life. It's the love of God that brings us eternal life. And God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Amen? We talked about that last week. And to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, this will be your sign. And guess what? It's not going to look like we expected. So you will find Him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Swaddling clothes, y'all know what that means, right? Swaddling, teared up, old ripped up material that's been ripped and torn and cut, put all pieced together. And whoever believes in Him should not perish and have everlasting life, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And that, Charlie Brown, is what Christmas is all about. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time. Lord, we thank You for this message. Thank You for the mission that You've given us. Thank You for Jesus. Father, as one here that's never accepted Christ, we just stop everything we're doing right now. And we give them an opportunity to make it right. As we sing this song of invitation, Lord, they can come down and I'll be glad to pray with them. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.